Sports Hub Hockey Show with Ryan Johnston, Judd Zerat, and Bob Beers.
Pasta with a rocket!
On Boston's home of the Boston Bruins, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Welcome in to another edition of the Sports Hub Hockey Show here on a Saturday morning. Ryan Johnston, Judd Zerat, Bob Beers back together again for week two of the restart and the final weekend before the playoffs really get underway. The qualifying series are just about over. The round robin ends over the weekend, including the Bruins game tomorrow. We'll get to all of that. And we'll preview the playoffs. The Bruins don't know their opponent yet, but they have narrowed it down significantly. So we will get to those possibilities as well. We will be joined coming up later this hour by Ty Anderson. He'll be with us around 9:35. And then Billy Jaffe returns to the show this week at 10:35 today. And we've also got a special giveaway coming up later this hour at 9:50. We'll give you a chance to win some autographed Bruins memorabilia, so be listening for that as well. In between all that, your phone calls. Welcome at 617-779-0985. Before we get to all things Bruins, and we're obviously going to talk a lot about what we've seen and what we hope to see out of the Bruins as they finish up the round robin tomorrow afternoon. That game, by the way, has been set for noon, if you've been waiting for the official word. Noon face-off tomorrow here on the Sports Hub. I just want to start off by saying I would be 100% in favor of having hockey on from noon until after midnight every day of the week, as we have been for the last week. It has been phenomenal. Phenomenal stuff, guys. I'm enjoying the hell out of it. The qualifying series, the round robin. Maybe it's the fact that we were in a sports desert for 4.5 months, but this has been a lot of fun. Wall-to-wall hockey on TV every day. And the quality of the games have been terrific. There's been drama, no more so than some of the games yesterday in the elimination games in the qualifying series. But I'm sure you guys are having fun with this as I am.
Yeah, it's not all. I'll be honest with you, Ryan. I was not sitting in front of my TV for 14 hours yesterday or however many hours
I was. I didn't make the end of the Vancouver game. But
weather being what it was, I might have spent a little time outside, but certainly saw all the highlights and saw bits and pieces of some of the games. So it's been great. It really has. It's been no lead has been safe. Just ask Toronto and Columbus. Don't go up by 3 goals in any of those games. They've traded wins now after being up 3 goals. Great, you know, drama in the late game with Minnesota and Vancouver. Montreal surprising a lot of people with their win winning the series. I watched them the first two games. I didn't think that they'd be around much. They weren't good in the first two games.
Yeah,
and they won one of those. You know, Carey Price stole it, but everything I'm hearing and reading, Pittsburgh didn't have a whole lot of sense of urgency in Game 5 here yesterday, or the other day. So I've loved a lot of these series. Arizona, I think, opened some eyes doing what they did against Nashville. People that really don't know much about Arizona. Which series am I forgetting? Some of the other games have been good with the round robins.
You got 2 12 seeds that advanced.
Yeah. Oh, Chicago takes out Edmonton. Yeah, forgot about that one over Edmonton. You got a couple of young players on Chicago that are really standing out. Guys that you're going to hear a lot more about here in the next several years.
Well, we were talking about it last week, Judd, about how there was so much unknown going into this, and we thought we knew who these teams were, particularly some of those, the 12 seeds. It's like you don't expect that there's going to be upsets. But I asked the question last week. It's like, what do you guys think about potential upsets? And we all just kind of shrugged our shoulders and said, is there really such a thing? Because it was such an unknown going into this week. And as we're seeing, what we saw over the first 70-plus games of the NHL season does not necessarily hold after a four-and-a-half-month layoff.
Well, I think the only thing that surprised me were the way that the 5 and the 12 seeds, that those series were played in both the East and the West. I think a lot of people are stunned that Montreal was able to beat the Pittsburgh Penguins. You know, and at the same token, even though the Blackhawks won game one of that series against the Edmonton Oilers, Connor McDavid caught fire there in game two, but they weren't really able to sustain it. And I saw a quote from McDavid. I didn't really get a chance to watch the clincher yesterday for the Blackhawks, but he just basically said that the attention to detail, just to paraphrase, that they showed maybe when they played their one exhibition game, which was a spirited affair against the Calgary Flames, he said, you know, we can't play Calgary every night. So they had a hard time summoning the emotion. And maybe that was the case with the Pittsburgh Penguins. And I think a lot of these teams coming out of the restart are not only trying to define their games, but find the emotion and find the habits that made them successful during the regular season.
We talked about that a little bit last week, you know, the fact that you're playing in front of an empty building, and Bob, you said you never in your life, you know, even you'd always have your parents there. You know, somebody would be
and
there
those
watching.
Small buildings, they're loud.
You know? Right. And so, you know, it really struck me in one of the first games last weekend when there was a fight, you know, guys are trying to fire up their teams and there's no energy in the building at all, right? Even normally you've got crowd on its feet, bloodthirsty, yelling, screaming. Like, you can just kind of feel that excitement, particularly in a playoff game. And instead, it's total silence. It's a strange feeling, particularly with games that have something on the line.
Yeah, Bruce Cassidy actually went out of his way to mention that and to bring it up. He brought it up to the media. He brought it up in our interview with him prior to the last game, just saying that, you know, maybe as coaches, they have to be a little bit different on the bench trying to get some energy from their team. And, you know, they're looking at different ways to generate that. And, you know, you watch, I don't know, the first 10 minutes there of the Bruins game, mm-hmm. the last game, they didn't have a ton of it. It didn't seem like it. Let's put it that way. I think that they were a little sloppy early in that game. And did it take Torrey Krug dropping the gloves to really drive the emotion up? It appeared that way. It appeared that way. So, you know, whatever it takes, I mean, to get some of that hatred, some of the urgency, some of the passion that you need in order to play this game and play it at the highest level, you've got to be able to find that. I don't think it's going to be a problem tomorrow when a couple of these guys start running around for Washington. You better be ready to go. So it's... yeah, it's just unique to everybody, and they're all trying to figure out the best way to move forward and go about it. But time has run out for several teams, and you know, you hope that the Bruins are able to catch fire here sooner rather than later.
So Ryan, I want to back up. Hold on, I remember calling plenty of the Utah Grizzlies games on a Monday or a Wednesday at the Delta Center in Salt Lake City.
Low Lock Monsters on a Wednesday night was the same way.
And yeah. I don't remember, you know, a standing room only crowd to watch Bob Beers and Andy Brickley and the boys go at it on a Monday in Salt Lake City.
I called plenty of games where you could count heads in the stands, believe me. But even then, there was at least somebody there. A week in, how much different do we think this is now? I mean, now that we've seen upsets, is this just a product of the qualifying round? And these are teams that are, you know, they only got a chance to play four or five games, including the qualifying round, and now they're going home. Do you imagine that as the teams from the round robin get into this and we get the, you know, the top four teams from each conference involved, that things change, or are upsets going to be even more prevalent than normal in the playoffs that get underway this week?
We said, are they upsets? It's just there's no way to predict the way the teams are coming out. I mean, look, St. Louis hasn't won a game yet. Boston hasn't won a game yet. You know, these two teams were the top two teams in the league. So there's no way to predict what teams are coming out right now, how individuals are going to perform. So, yeah, it's 12 beating 5, but I don't know if it's an upset or not. You know, you look at it based on the way the season ended, in March, yeah, they're upsets, but not right now. I think there's everything's on the table. Well, I do expect it to be kind of more towards business as usual once the best of 7 start. I do believe that.
I would agree with you there, Beersy, and I think it was you had brought up I think we were talking about what the league is like in October when everybody basically starts from scratch, very much the way that you've seen here off the restart. The Buffalo Sabres were one of the best teams in the league in each of the last two Octobers, and they're one of the seven not participating. So I think because of the long span where there was nothing being played, I think that, and because a lot of these rosters had a chance to get healthy again, or healthier than they certainly would have been if they had made the playoffs in April, I think that's basically a function of what you're seeing right now.
All right, let's talk a little bit about the Bruins as we get started here. We've seen them, obviously, the exhibition game a little more than a week ago, and then the two games of the round robin so far. Two losses to Philadelphia and then to Tampa. The Tampa game, they came back and ended up losing a one-goal game. Overall, what have you seen so far? What's, if any, your level of concern with one game to go before they get started in the playoffs? Because they certainly haven't played their best hockey to this point.
No. We've seen some good things, but not nearly enough and not for long enough spans, right? I think we've seen bits and pieces of the game that they want to play in order to be successful, but I've seen too many defensive kind of breakdowns that have ended up in the back of the net. There were some – Rask actually made some good saves in the third period the other day against Tampa, and then it was a breakdown that led to the last goal. But turnover and a breakdown defensively led to the last goal. So it's there's good things, but they're not long enough stretches. So I think the managing the puck, turnovers, basically – there's a long list. There really is. There's a number of areas. I mean, people are going to point to the top line that hasn't gotten going yet. You know, Pastrnak had a number of shots, you know, towards the net attempted the other day, and pucks that got in. One almost trickled in. It was pulled out at the last second by McDonough. But that line's still trying to find it. They haven't quite yet. Who's playing with David Krejci? What is Charlie Coyle's line?
The age-old
like?
Question.
Kasha hasn't been back yet. I think the fourth line, by and large, has been pretty good. Once they put Corrali back there, the D pairs have been. I think that there's guys that are struggling on the backside right now. You know, is Rask knocked off all the rust? He was rusty early in that game, no question. Mm. But then he was good in the third. So individually, there's a lot of questions. As a team, defensive breakdowns at key times that ended up in the back of the net. Philadelphia, how many 2-on-1s we see against Philadelphia? And they all ended up in the back of the net. You know, the breakdowns with the puck. So there's a number of areas right now. Those are the top ones for me, but the number of areas that they still need to clean up.
Bruce Cassidy had mentioned, what was it, on the heels of the Flyers game, that they worked on some offensive principles. Then after the loss against the Lightning, he said the other day that they stressed defensive principles. I just go back to the bigger picture with what made this team the best team during the regular season: defense, goaltending, special teams, top line. And we've seen that only in fits and starts here in the first two games. Small sample size here in the round robin.
All right, we start there. We can take your thoughts on the Bruins as they get ready to wrap up the round robin tomorrow. Again, that has been set for a noontime faceoff here on the Sports Hub. We'll talk about that game. We'll talk about what we've seen from them so far, and we'll take your calls on it next. 617-779-0985 here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show.
Shoots and refs flashed off the glove. Take it away.
It's the Hockey Show.
Centered fire, they score.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub. It's streaming on the Sports Hub app.
The Lightning get the game-winning goal from Tyler Johnson at the 18:33 mark of the third period, snapping a 2-2 tie. The Bruins thus far are 0-2 in round-robin action. Up next will be their last game of the round-robin against the Washington Capitals on Sunday. Your final today, Lightning 3 and the Bruins 2.
Bruins still in search of their first win in the bubble. They'll get a chance at it tomorrow afternoon, and then it's on to the playoffs to match up with either the Islanders or the Hurricanes in the first round, best of seven series. We'll talk about that coming up. 617-779-0985, of course, is the number. We get started this morning with Maria in Watertown. Good morning, Maria.
Hi, gentlemen. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
Good, thank you. Hey, I just wanted to touch upon you know, three things that I am desperately hoping to see out of the game tomorrow. I'd like to see a win, first and foremost, because I don't really want anything to do with the Carolina Hurricanes right now. I really want to see a full 60-minute effort, and I'd like to see the Bees get out of this game healthy, because I don't trust Tom Wilson. The other thing that I'm really, really more concerned about, and, you know, maybe this is not a big deal and I'm reading too much into it, but, you know, it seems to me that the Bruins have had somewhat of a cavalier approach to these round-robin games. And, you know, I'm not sure if that's an intentional mindset or a mindset of, you know, we just don't have enough, you know, intensity where these games are involved, and the secondary scoring has been an abomination. If you look at the stats right now, Chris Wagner is the leading scorer. No disrespect to Chris Wagner, but when he's our leading scorer, I think you've got to solve some issues there. And Bob, to your point regarding the Blackhawks, in addition to those young players, Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane were beasts. They just basically put that team on their backs, and Duncan Keith, and willed those young players to just say, come on along, guys, follow us, and good things are going to happen. Thank you for the time, gentlemen. Have a great day.
All right, thanks, Maria. I mean,
the ironic thing about Toews, and if I'm not mistaken, Judd can correct me if I'm wrong, but there was word that he had voted not to come back and play. He voted against the CBA and not to come back and play. That was what I had heard, and I'm not sure if that's accurate or not.
I can't confirm that.
I probably shouldn't say. I did hear that, though, and yet he's been arguably their best player.
He's ready to go when he got there. Yeah.
Well, I think the bigger point, you know, that she brings up, you know, as we shift and start looking ahead to the playoffs, and we'll have an idea of who the Bruins are going to face after the game against the Capitals, you want to win a title, your best players have to be your best players. That's what it comes down to. And since she brought up Jonathan Toews and the Blackhawks, those are your core players, and those core players helped lead you to a qualifying series win over the Oilers.
Well, from the Bruins' perspective, we know, look, they have one of the best, if not the best, lines in hockey. They're going to get focused on no matter who you're playing against, but they've got to put up points for this team to be successful, and they've got to put up a lot of points. And she talked about the secondary scoring. It's great to see, you know, Chris Wagner kick in a couple of goals here early on and get going. But, you're going to need the second and third lines to produce for you as well. This can't just all be about Bergeron and company.
Yeah, and you know, the way that he scores them, they call them greasy goals, right? Just go to the net. I mean, it could have easily been Corrali scoring the other day. He made that play. He intercepted the pass, got the puck out in front, and they went to the net hard looking for that rebound. You know, if maybe you got to simplify things a bit and until things really start to click for you. You know, the power play, I watched that the other day. No, it hasn't all been bad. I mean, there's been some good things that they've done here, and they were certainly against Tampa some much better things. But, you know, I thought that Tampa did a great job in killing penalties. Like, they took, after Pastrnak got the chance early in the first period, the one that trickled through Vasilevsky that almost went in, I mean, they really, whether it's Ruda or Chernak, I think, on that right side, they blocked several shots. They paid the price knowing that Pastrnak was going to get that one-timer. They took away Bergeron in that low spot. So, and I thought that they really tried to get that puck to him on a number of occasions there. You know, so there's areas that they're going to continue to clean up and get better at. And I liked their game against Tampa. Certainly not 60 minutes worth, but I liked a lot of their game against Tampa, and I'm hoping that that's a good step in the right direction for them. We'll see here tomorrow afternoon. 12 o'clock noon, by the way, the game tomorrow. Get ready early.
Early wake-up call for everybody, and, you know, get it done. You had mentioned earlier, Bob, the, you know, kind of the first 10 minutes of that game against Tampa especially, but it really, once they got going in the second period, I felt a lot better about things. After I saw the start, I was starting to wonder, like, ooh, this is not looking good.
He downplayed that a little bit. He was asked about that. He downplayed that in his press conference. Now, whether that's for his team's benefit or not, I'm not sure. But I thought they gave up two odd man rushes. One of them ended up in the back of the net. Yes, you know, Rask wasn't able to find it, and maybe point, you know, he chipped it. he was the only one that could find it. He chipped it. Maybe it was going to go wide, and it went off a McAvoy skate, but it was still an odd man rush that led to that goal. The other goal was a power play, and it was after too many men. You know, so were they as sharp as they needed to be? No, I didn't think so in the first 10 minutes, but certainly after that, they got a lot better.
But those are things can be cleaned up, too.
I mean, absolutely, but yeah. I mean, it's still, you know, like I said, whether Bruce Cassidy was saying it more for his own team's benefit or not, you know, because everyone starting to pile on a little bit, maybe trying to get a little positivity into his locker room. Whatever the case, maybe he didn't feel that they were that bad there. But I thought that after the first 10 minutes, it was a different team.
Let's go to Kevin.
I say 10 minutes, however many minutes it was.
Let's go to Kevin in Tewksbury up next here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show. Good morning.
Gentlemen, good morning. I'm very concerned about this team right now when the starts. I know we discussed 60 minutes as a whole, but these starts are awful. It started with Columbus and then Philadelphia and then the other day with Tampa. And the concern is we play Tampa a lot. This is a team you know. Last time we played them before was that ugly game with Chara and Cirelli. You figured it'd be a little bit more nasty. But now getting towards tomorrow, I mean, we have Washington, who we're notoriously horrible against. If we have another bad start here, I mean, the morale is not going to be high at any means. I'm just trying to get your thoughts as to the start. I mean, we were off 4 months. You think the guys would be ready to play hockey?
You know, I agree with you on the Columbus game and certainly the Tampa game. I thought against Philadelphia their start was actually good. I thought they were better than the Flyers in the first period. I mean, they outshot them 12-6. It was scoreless after the first. They didn't score, obviously, but I didn't mind their start against the Flyers, and then there was those breakdowns that led to the two-on-ones. But certainly, first however many minutes in the Tampa game, and definitely the Columbus game.
Well, this is something that, I mean, how many times have we said it over the years, Judd, about Bruce Cassidy saying, you know, talking about his team needing to start on time?
That's been a fundamental part of their success. But, Beersy, help me. If I remember in your conversation with Bruce Cassidy heading into the game against the Tampa Bay Lightning, one of the things that he said was, our team right now is in between.
Yeah.
We're in between. We're trying to get ready so we have our best game to start the playoffs. And at the same time, we're having a hard time finding that urgency because it's not the playoffs and it's not do or die. And I think we've seen that attitude being in between manifesting itself here in the first two games where we've seen the Bruins play probably 40 of the 60 minutes against Tampa.
Yeah, what teams in these round robins have handled themselves the best? Tampa certainly has, right? They've won two games. I think, Flyers certainly have, right? Yeah. And then out west, Vegas has. St. Louis is 0-2. Who's the other team that's 0-2 out west? Is it Dallas?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, these are two of the favorites coming in. There's teams that have handled it better, and it's Bruins are still working towards that.
It also shouldn't be lost the fact that it's not it's a soft landing place in that these games aren't elimination games, but you're playing the top three other teams in the Eastern Conference. I mean, it's not like you're playing pushovers here in the first week of the return to play. So there are some factors that you can weigh in on that.
Tampa's certainly playing with a team with a little chip on their shoulder, you know, after losing the way that they did last year's playoff. They look like they've got something to prove, and they're playing like it. So, Bruce Cassidy keeps talking about this as well. He says, look, you know, you might play a great game and not win. You know, goalie steals something, whatever. But we still need to play that 60 minutes, and we haven't done it yet. So that's their goal here tomorrow afternoon, I'm sure, against the Capitals. And also, like Maria said there, to come out of it without injuries. But that's hard to predict when, you know, especially if guys get running around on the Capitals.
Well, you know,
it's up to them to answer.
Looking ahead to tomorrow, unknown if John Carlson is going to play. He hasn't been practicing here in the last couple of days. Todd Reirden was noncommittal on what he's going to be, what his status is for Sunday's game. It's just Braden Holtby, by the way, because Ilya Samsonov got injured during the pause in an ATV accident, so he is unavailable to the Washington Capitals. So it's just Holtby. That's it. But in listening to Todd Reirden, I think you could match what his comments have been like here in the first two games of the round robin right up against what Bruce Cassidy has talked about with the team trying to find itself before the games count.
That game they had against Tampa was exciting, though. They went at it, and they went at it hard. Tampa ended up winning in a shootout, but that was a good, hard-fought game. That was the first game for the two of them.
All right, we'll talk more about the Bruins and what we need to see out of them tomorrow. Ty Anderson is going to join us coming up on the other side as we continue here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show on a Saturday morning.
Shoe center fired. Score!
The Hockey Show on your home of the Bruins, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
.985 The Sports Hub. It's the Sports Hub Hockey Show here on a Saturday morning. We'll take you up until 11 o'clock. Ryan Johnston joined here in the Town Fair Tire Studios by Judd Surratt and Bob Beers. 617-779-0985 for your calls. Coming up in a little more than 10 minutes, we're going to give you an opportunity to win a David Krejci signed jersey as we give you a little something extra for tuning in this morning. Thanks to our friends at the Boston Bruins Foundation for that. They're doing all sorts of raffles and auctions and things like that. We'll tell you more about that coming up. But 617-779-0985. We're trying to connect with Ty Anderson. Hopefully we'll have him here momentarily. We started into this a little bit, you know, Maria, when she called, had mentioned trying to stay healthy. You guys talked about a little bit about the Washington Capitals. If you're Bruce Cassidy, that balance you have of wanting to be healthy, obviously, for game one of the playoffs, but also wanting to make sure that your guys are ready and they haven't looked 100% ready as of yet. How do you manage that balance going into the game tomorrow? And, you know, what do you think the plan is? Is it just to go out and play a game? Is it to try and manage minutes? Is it play it by ear and see how things are going?
I think he's trying to find his game, or their game. You know, they're trying to find their game for that 60 minutes. So I don't harp on it, but it's, I think as individuals, there's certain guys that need to be better, and you know they're looking for better performances out of some guys here moving into this last round robin game, and they'll have to do it against a good team. So, you know, what better way to find your game than against a good team? So it's an opportunity is a way that they're probably framing it. Hey, we have another opportunity to play well here. I don't think they care who they play in the first round. You know, I know that Maria and Carolina look good, no question. The Islanders are a much different style than Carolina is, but they're not going into the game saying we need to win because we don't want to play Carolina. That's not the approach at all. The approach is we need to find our game, and we need to find it over a whole game and or at least a lot of it, and play to our identity, play it to the identity that has made us successful this season and over the last couple of years.
And that supersedes what the combinations are going to look like, because if the Bruins play as they practiced the other day, it certainly sounds like that we're going to see Kasha with Krejci and DeBrusk. We're going to see Nick Ritchie move down and play with Charlie Coyle. And it also sounded like Bruce Cassidy was maybe going to bring in Connor Clifton to get him a game before the real action starts in the playoffs.
The Kasha thing is a big one because, you know, again, as we talked about last week, you don't even know really yet what he brings to the table as part of this team. We've seen him in such a limited capacity, and he missed the ramp up, right? He's been up in Toronto the past week and working with the team. You know, the assumption is obviously that he'll get time tomorrow, and you're a game away from the playoffs, and you still really don't know what your lines look like outside of the top line.
Don't know what he's going to look like. I mean, we haven't seen him. We haven't seen him practice, you know. So I don't know. I liked what I saw from Ritchie the other day. Thought he played well against Tampa. Understood the situation. Took the puck to the net. Took it there hard. You know, was physical. You know, threw a couple of good hits. Went after Cirelli at one point. You know, so I liked what I saw from him. Kosh is a different kind of player. We didn't get a huge sample size when he got traded here, so I don't know what to expect from him. I really have no idea. I know he's skilled. I know he can play. But who knows? And we don't have the luxury of watching him right now.
Identity, Ryan, is a guy who plays with a lot of energy, and that's fine. But, you know, can he do it in the context of the way that the Bruins want to play and do it in the same way that syncs up with David Krejci?
Were you surprised at all that Richie was in a top six role? I mean,
they weren't crazy about DeBrusk and Krejci together. Now it looks like they're back together. You know, maybe it was a little message that, you know, they need certain things out of, you know, these guys if they're going to play together. Is Charlie Coyle your third line center? Yeah, he's pretty good now.
He is. I understand, there's a certain pecking order on this team.
There
and it's
is,
Bergeron and Krejci are the top two.
There
are
is,
your top
but
two
it's,
centermen.
I really like the way Coyle's playing. So I don't know. I mean, that's, you know, now Richie's playing with Coyle. And I don't think that's a demotion at all. So you look at it any way you want. I don't think it's a demotion to go play with Charlie Coyle.
You mentioned, you know, maybe it was a little bit of a message.
Maybe.
The idea of
they're searching. They're searching right
they're,
now.
I know they're searching, but there's also the idea of DeBrusk playing on the right side, too.
Well, he's back on the left.
Yeah.
We said that the other day, Judd, right before the game. I don't know how long this is going to last.
We've got to start taking over-unders. I know more wagering is coming into the game. You know, I think we need those prop bets. With Charlie Coyle, though, in particular, he's transferred, you know, and I think, you know, the coaching staff had said he's been our best player since the practices have began, and you've seen him be able to drop and drive to the front of the net. And
I wish he would have shot the other day.
first
period 2-on-1, I wish he would have taken that shot there.
I know that they're and it's part of what you've got for this first three games is a chance to experiment a little bit, chance to try to figure out what's working and what's not. It's just that, you know, some of the moves, in particular the DeBrusk move, was kind of a head scratcher. It's like, okay, you want to drop the kid down a line. You want to see where he fits.
No, they're just looking for the best chemistry right now.
Right.
And it's, you know, you haven't had your full, you finally get Richie back. You haven't had Kasha yet. You know, he's brought in to solidify the right side below Pastrnak. You know, who's in between Pastrnak and Wagner on the right side? And that's what they're searching for right now, and where do they best fit? So they've tried Bjork over there. They've tried Kuhlman's played there. They tried DeBrusk there. They tried Studnicka there. So now, I mean, Kasha's going to get in the lineup, it looks like, tomorrow, barring any setbacks. So, but they're still looking for another one. They've tried a number of different personnel over there and haven't settled anything yet.
All right, we will get to the giveaway of the David Krejci autographed jersey coming up next. We'll have more thoughts on the Bruins as they get set to wrap up round robin play tomorrow. And don't forget, we'll also talk about the rest of the NHL, what we've seen in the qualifying series, and what the playoff matchups are starting to look like with Billy Jaffe coming up at the final half hour of the show today as well after 10:30. 617-779-0985 is the number here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show.
This is where Boston talks hockey. 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 The Sports Hub Hockey Show. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The CDC has prescribed sanitizing all hard surfaces daily at all businesses, schools, healthcare facilities, hotels, gyms, malls, nursing homes, and more. If you need an immediate solution for coronavirus sanitizing, contact ACP Facility Services now. Go to acpcleaning.com.
The bear is back. Hibernation is over. Plymouth Rock Assurance is proud to partner with the Boston Bruins and welcomes back fans to playoff hockey. If you're looking for auto insurance, talk to your local independent agent to learn more or visit PlymouthRock.com/Bruins. Go Bees!
It's the most difficult thing you can face, the loss of a loved one, and you want to do everything you can to honor their memory. Quinlan Memorials of Wakefield has been compassionately serving families in their time of need since 1959. Quinlan Memorials can commemorate the life of your loved one with the perfect cemetery monument, understanding that the price should be a comfort as well. Their professional artists will create the perfect memorial to celebrate a unique life lived. Quinlan also offers cleanings and inscriptions, family stones, and more. Call Ralph at 781-245-2505. That's 781-245-2505. Or visit QuinlanMemorials.com. Quinlan Memorials, their family serving your family since 1959.
It's summertime, and let Fine Mass Money make your living a little easier with more money. There's over $3 billion waiting to be claimed at FineMassMoney.com. 1 in 10 people have money from things like forgotten bank accounts, stock certificates, payroll and tax refund checks, and one of those people could be you. Go to FineMassMoney.com. It's free, and it's easy to use. So don't wait. That's FineMassMoney.com.
We're Right Window, and our window sounds like this. That big window company rhymes with Anderson. Their window sounds like this. Yeah, we sound pretty much the same. Right Window and theirs, both Energy Star certified. Both windows have great insulation ratings. We have a better warranty than theirs, but hey, who's keeping score? Now, the biggest difference between Right Window and those guys is the price. If you're replacing every window in your house, they are literally thousands of dollars more. I'm not kidding. Oh, my gosh. Let's do this again. Right Window's price sounds about right. Their price sounds crazy. If you don't believe it, have us both over. Although, maybe not at the same time. Don't want no trouble. Call Right Window and see a really good window for a better price.
Call Right Window right now.
Call 800-649-3600. A better window professionally installed for the right price. Right Window.
Hey, it's Maz. If you have kids like I do, then you're used to them asking for money. So let me tell you about the Jazby Family Finance app that allows parents to reward kids the same way they shop from their phones. My kids can spend money in the Jazby Mall, which has everything a kid would want, and they're learning about financial literacy, saving money, and donating to charity. Coming soon, your kids can use Jazby to buy in-store, fully contactless with a new Jazby virtual debit card. Join the growing waiting list and be entered to win a bundle of Apple products worth over $1,000. Check Jazby.com for terms, conditions, and details, and download JASSBY in the Apple Store today.
This is Larry Army from Army & Roach, and I'm proud to announce that my firm has partnered with the Sports Hub and Healthcare Heroes. We are offering a traditional estate planning package, which is comprised of a will, healthcare proxy, and a power of attorney, all at a discounted rate to 98.5 listeners from now until September 1st. A portion of each fee collected will be donated to the Healthcare Heroes. You may think you don't need an estate plan, but I assure you, you do. Visit 985wills.com to make an appointment and speak to one of our estate planning attorneys right now. Visit 985wills.com and take the first step towards securing your family's future today.
Have you ever wanted to be a swashbuckling musketeer? Try fencing, one of the oldest Olympic sports. At the International Fencing Club in West Roxbury, Coach Cesar Morales trains kids and adults to fence with chivalry and discipline. For fun, high-energy classes, Google the International Fencing Club in West Roxbury on VFW Parkway. Learn from an old-school fencing master. Again, that's the International Fencing Club on VFW Parkway in West Roxbury. En garde! This small business advertisement is brought to you by RCN Business.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is now open for shopping and dining. The staff at Patriot Place have created a safe and healthy environment for everyone to enjoy dinner, drinks, and shopping. Visit patriot-place.com for the most up-to-date store and restaurant information. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Planet Fitness is open. Join now for just $1 down, $10 a month, no commitment. Get a squeaky clean environment and tons of equipment. Deal ends August 12th. Join in club or at planetfitness.com.
Join now for only $1 down, $10 a month, no commitment. Hurry, offer ends August 12th.
See club for details.
Does your chimney need to be cleaned or repaired? For same-day service, call Ultimate Chimney Sweep now at 1-800-499-2726. 1-800-499-2726 or ultimatechimneysweep.com.
This hour of the Hockey Show brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Valvoline Instant Oil Change is open with Stay in Your Car drive-through oil changes to make sure your car is running at its best when you need to be on the road. Visit getanoilchange.com to save up to 20% on your purchase.
Zolak and Bertrand, middays.
One of the reasons why the Patriots players have opted out is they have an older roster.
When you have older players who have experienced things in the league, with the experience comes the confidence to pick up the phone and tell their team, I'm not coming in.
They have smart players that have been around the league a long time that are comfortable with their positioning within it, feel that they could continue to play and come back next year, and I could opt out and be ready to go again next year. And when you stick with a place that long, you win as much as they have, you have the ability to go out and say something like that.
Zolak and Bertrand, weekdays at 10, 98.5, The Sports Hub. Miss something?
This is a black and gold freight train.
Catch the Hockey Show podcast at 98.5thesportshub.com and the Sports Hub app.
98.5, the Sports Hub. It is the Sports Hub Hockey Show. Ryan Johnston, Judd Surratt, Bob Beers here with you in the Town Fair Tire Studios. And as promised, going to give you a chance to win a little something special today. Caller number 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line at 617-931-0985 will score a David Krejci signed jersey. The Boston Bruins Foundation is taking its 50-50 raffle virtual, and you can get in the game anytime from anywhere. Just visit bostonbruins.com/5050 before the third period of Sunday's game to purchase your tickets. Right now, 617-931-0985, caller number 10, will take home that David Krejci autographed jersey. Not bad for tuning in on a Saturday morning. We are here with you until 11 o'clock to talk about the Bruins and the NHL playoffs to this point, or the Stanley Cup qualifiers. Only one qualifying series made it to the fifth game. Almost everything else finished up yesterday. Six elimination games, five teams were eliminated. we've been sitting here watching the highlights of the games from last night in the studio, and some questionable play down the stretch by Columbus, and some questionable goaltending last night for the Minnesota Wild
and Vancouver
and Vancouver. All right, so as we're talking about the game tomorrow, obviously you're playing the Capitals. We've talked a little bit about the approach. What I know, it's difficult to judge because you guys aren't in the arena, so you're not, you know, not as close up as you would normally be, but what have you thought of the intensity level of the first couple of games of the round robin from the Bruins perspective? Are they, you know, it's one thing to, you know, maybe not be at your best. Do they look fully engaged?
They did it at for good stretches of the Tampa game, no question. Philadelphia was a friendlier game. If I say that the right
it's
way,
strange to play a friendly game
changed,
against Philadelphia.
Right? there wasn't a ton of there was a little bit. You know, Lauzon ended up taking out Raffle there in the third period, but prior to that, there really wasn't much that I can remember. Nothing that stood out to me in that game. You know, it was one of those things where we said the Bruins had actually a good first period, but it was scoreless. I believe it was scoreless after the first. Their mistakes all ended up in the back of the net. You know, their mistakes were bad ones, whether it was a turnover or whether it was coverage. Philly didn't have a ton of opportunities in that game. The ones that they had, they capitalized on. And the Bruins, they talked about overpassing, trying to make too many pretty plays and the plays that just weren't there. And Hart was good. Hart was good against them. So, you know, simplify. Look at Wagner's goal. Take the puck stronger than that. He got a friendly bounce off of one of the defenseman's legs. But it just – so that wasn't – That wasn't a game where, like, if you're gonna have that intensity level like you talk about, they were trying to play smart, and maybe that goes to Bruce Cassidy's comments that they're kind of in between right now. You know, playing smart and raising the level of intensity. They raised it against Tampa, I thought. You know, the hatred came out, and I don't think it's going to take much against Washington either. It should be there.
I think one of the encouraging signs for the Bruins, they finally put Corrali back with Wagner and Nordstrom. And they're starting to regain some of the form that made them a success. And they're such a critical piece for the way that the Bruins play and Cassidy likes to deploy his lines.
You mentioned, you know, that kind of the history with Washington and the type of game that Washington plays. I think that actually, while, you know, you might be concerned about, you know, the fact that ultimately this game may not matter that much as far as whether you win or lose, I think that helps. I think they need that hatred. I think they need that kind of juice, because you're certainly going to get it when you get into game one of whatever playoff series, whether it's the Islanders or Carolina. Like, you know that you're going to have to raise your game as far as intensity goes to that level. And so maybe you get a little bit of a jump start on that when you see it against Tampa in the second half of that game particularly, and then against Washington tomorrow.
I keep talking, build our game. Well, you know, okay, it's time to have it now, or at least much closer, much more semblance of it, and, you know, so that you are rolling when you get into game one. So, results are one thing about tomorrow's in terms of the score. Just play the game the right way. And I think that's the thing that they're focused on right now.
I believed you when you say you don't think the Bruins care one way or the other about who they play. How much do you care about who they play? And I don't mean out of entertainment purposes, but which team do you think is the better matchup right now, the Islanders or Carolina?
I would probably say the Islanders. They're capable of beating anybody. Who would give them the tougher time? Very different styles. You know, Carolina, they play a fast style. They play their top guys are really going right now. Aho had a phenomenal series against the Rangers. Rangers didn't have an answer for him or Svechnikov, either one of them. So they're expected to get Dougie Hamilton back, I believe. That was the expectation. They're still missing Pesci on the back end, but they made some changes at the deadline and adding Trocheck to their lineup, adding Brady Shea to their lineup on defense, and they gave up a pretty good price to get those guys. So, especially in Shea's case, so if they can get the goaltending, they're tough. But the Islanders are a different style. The Islanders are very defensive. They don't give you a whole lot.
It's a Lou Lamoriello team.
You got to fight your way through a lot of stuff with them, and they go about their business a little differently. So they had a good series against the Florida Panthers. I wasn't impressed with Florida though at all. So
they weren't very good.
They were porous.
It certainly sounds like Beersy and Ryan.
Yeah, Dale Talon. Yeah.
Dale Talon may be on his way out after a decade there. I just think, listen, Carolina has been fabulous. The top line, as you outlined, has been terrific. I do think it'll be fascinating. Who does Carolina go with in game one of the playoffs? So potentially if it's the Bruins and the Hurricanes, you could be facing James Reimer and Jake Gardner in the first round.
Yeah, I don't think you'll see Reimer in there, although he played really well in that clinching game. But it's, you know, I want to give full props to both of those teams for the way that they went about their business and won in those series. But I wasn't impressed with the Rangers very much or certainly Florida. Is that because Carolina and the Islanders played them so tough and didn't give them anything, or is that because they weren't good? Find out soon enough. But
I saw some comments from Chris Kreider, Beersy, just where he talked about, just to paraphrase, just the immaturity that the Rangers played with in that opening round series.
They weren't good. They weren't good. Give Carolina credit, but they were not good.
We'll get Ty Anderson's opinion on that. He is going to join us coming up after we get the headlines here, and we can get to your calls, more of your calls coming up as well. 617-779-0985. It's Ryan Johnston, Judd Surratt, Bob Beers here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show.
This is a black and gold freight train. Freight train. Freight train.
All things Bruins and the NHL. It's the Hockey Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hour number two of the Sports Hub Hockey Show here on a Saturday morning from our Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester. Ryan Johnston, Judd Surratt, Bob Beers with you up until 11 o'clock. Billy Jaffe will join us coming up in about a half hour. We'll talk with him about what we've seen around the league as the playoffs get underway this week, officially get underway this week. Most of the qualifying series coming to a screeching halt yesterday, with five teams being eliminated in six games played throughout the league yesterday. Right now, we are joined by Ty Anderson of 98.5thesportshub.com. He's on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Good morning, Ty.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Oh, not too much. Just before the headlines, I asked these guys, would you rather play the Islanders or Carolina? I'll ask you the same question.
I think that if you're the Bruins, you'd want to play the Islanders, not the Hurricanes. And I think that a lot of people who are saying the Hurricanes, I think they're thinking they're a little too close to, close to last year's team that you saw. And I don't think that's the case. I think the Islanders are a better team for the Bruins to face, if only because there's so much history. I think that, not history per se, but just the advantages that I think the Bruins have. And for me, I go back to the first line. How that line has looked against Islanders over the last 2 years, and how Tuukka's played against the Islanders over the last 2 years. I just think that's a good matchup for Boston. And Carolina, I think I just think that, you know, Svechnikov is such a huge piece of that team right now, and you did not see the real, you know, Svechnikov last postseason, and I think that that's a tough Carolina team. So I would go Islanders, but again, every team has their challenges. But I would say that if you're saying one or the other, I'm leaning New York.
Well, as we were talking about, it's two very different styles that you're going to face there. Either it's, you know, kind of a more wide open, you know, high scoring of type of affair that Carolina wants to get into, or it's the Islanders who are going to, you know, try and bog you down and beat you in low scoring games. You know, is the Islanders series a better fit for where this team is at right now, talking about the Bruins?
Yeah, I think so. And one of the reasons I come back to that is when I watched the play-in between the Rangers and Hurricanes, New York didn't play well, but I thought that what was impressive to me was just how aggressive the Hurricanes were at every situation, all three zones. It was pretty, you know, exciting to watch, I think. But that could be problematic for the Bruins. I thought, you know, watching how that team pressures you, even when they're down a man, it's like, okay, if Pastrnak or Krug doesn't have their A game right now, that could be a problem for the Bruins. So I think that ultimately, yeah, though, that kind of bar fight style with the Islanders is better for the Bruins in terms of hanging in games, but also, you know, getting their legs back and playing their structure that will allow them to be successful.
In terms of style of play, like, Carolina doesn't want to get into high-scoring games. They just defend in a much different way. They want the puck. They use their speed to close on guys no matter where they are. But they use that speed. They try to utilize that speed. They like the puck possession game. And they'll pressure you all over the ice. But it's not, like, they don't want to get into a high-scoring game. That's not what they want. They want to pressure. The Islanders, by contrast, in the defensive zone, there was some, I'm not big on the analytics stuff, but I did read some of it about the Islanders as the season wore on. The Islanders spend more time in their zone than anybody. Yet they're one of the best defensive teams. They just keep you to the outside, and they don't give up odd man rushes, and they don't, you know, so there's different ways to defend, and they don't use their speed as much to defend. It's more positioning. They don't chase a lot. So very, very different styles in that way.
Ty, the Bruins, what you've seen out of them so far, I kind of asked these guys as well. You know, how concerned should we be about what we've seen from the Bruins in the two round robin games and the one exhibition game? And how much do you think they really need to put things together tomorrow before they head into round one?
I think that I felt a lot better after Wednesday. Heading into Wednesday, I was really concerned with just how they were, the first line was looking, how everyone was looking, but I think that after Wednesday, you have to feel a little bit better. Still, you want to see a 60-minute effort or something closer to it. They got there almost on Wednesday, but I think that there are some guys that you want to see more out of heading into the playoffs. I think Jake DeBrusk is one of those guys. You know, 16 minutes, not a single shot on goal. I know he plays the right side on Wednesday, but still, 4.5 minutes of power play time. You want to see something on net, I'd say. You know, David Krejci hasn't looked like David Krejci these last two games. And really, I want to see Andre Kasha do something here as well, just so you feel a little bit comfortable with that second line heading into game one. But ultimately, I think that they're trending in the right way. You know, this sort of reminds me of, we talked about this, you know, back when we were all in studio in the old world. It was, you know, they had these games in the first 3 months where they would play, you know, two poor periods, but they'd have a great period and they'd steal a game. Or, you know, they'd have two great periods, one bad period, and go to overtime. You know, it felt like it was,
everybody looks for 60 minutes. It's not easy to do, though.
No, exactly. But that was sort of the, you know, I thought that when they were having sort of these lapses, right, they were relying on some things to bail them out. You know, great goaltending, their power play being, you know, one of the best in the league, or just that first line. Right now, that hasn't happened. But I do think that the structure and whatnot, I think it will come to them. And after Wednesday, I feel better about that.
Do you have any thoughts or any ideas as to what the lines are going to look like in game one? I mean, how much of that do you think is really still up in the air, and will, you know, how much experimenting are we going to see tomorrow?
Yeah, it sounds like that they want to get DeBrusk and Kasha as the wingers for David Krejci, just based on what Cassie talked about. He he was happy that he was able to get those two guys together for yesterday's practice, which didn't have Krejci. So I'd imagine that's your second line with Krejci between those two, and your third line is, do you put Bjork on the right side? I know Cassie talked about preferring him on the left side with Coyle, but to put Richie in, you sort of need to move him to the right side. So there's a lot of moving pieces still for this line, but I think that's the most likely, is that you just have those trios together and you figure out the way to make it work with the left and right side on that third line. But I think that's ultimately where they're trending right now. And, you know, I think that Carson Kuhlman's had a good motor, but you want to get Richie in there and you want to get Bjork in there, I think. And Bjork, because I think he's been one of your – he actually had a pulse in the first game. And Richie, because you add him to the deadline.
How about we talked a little bit about Kasha earlier, but Cassidy had some good things to say about what limited action he's seen for Kasha in practice so far. He says he's actually looking halfway decent.
Yeah, one thing I thought that was important that Cassidy noted was he mentioned how he's a shot-first player, and I'd like to see more of that. You know, six games in Boston, 9 shots on goal. When you watched a lot of the film from the Anaheim run this year, he was taking shots from all over the ice, and that's, I think, when he's truly dangerous, is that, you know, he has that ability, and that's important, I think, with that line, especially given Jake DeBrus' struggles this year, is that you need someone who's going to shoot or help Krejci, you know, get his shot on net, and I think that's when Kasha can really be effective for this team. So I want to see more of that on Sunday, and then heading into the playoffs as well. I want to see him land more shots on goal, take some more shots, be a little more selfish, because I think that line could use it.
Last weekend, we were talking about Jack Studnicka, as you know, he drew into the lineup for game one. Then he's out in game two. Ultimately, you know, is he going to have a role on this team in the postseason?
I mean, I would imagine it's tough to say right now, but I think that anything you get out of him is kind of a bonus. I don't think that there's the sort of the pressure that Tyler Seguin had in the 2011 postseason, where, you got to get him in because he's a superstar, or, you know, the button superstar. I don't think it's that kind of situation. So I think anything you get out of him is a bonus, but I can't crush the coach for wanting to get a look at Kasha and Richie. Again, given what they paid to get these guys over Studnicka, I mean, the future is bright for him, but it's still a center playing the wing right now. So you go with those two guys to see what they can do, but if Studnicka gets an opportunity and runs with it, then that changes the conversation. But I thought that after Sunday, when you see the limited usage he has, it was kind of easy for me to say, okay, he's the first one out, you know, and the second one out is probably going to be Kuhlman, and you go from there. So I think that ultimately if he works his way in, it's because he earned it. But I don't think he's owed anything.
Earned
out
it
of
plus,
this,
plus out of necessity, because right now, I mean, Kuhlman – you said it. He's got, you know, he plays high energy. But does he have the offense to play in that role? We haven't seen it enough. You know, we've seen it at times, but not enough. I mean, I like him as a player, but on that role, is that valuable enough? Anders Bjork needs to be stronger on pucks. I mean, he was picking himself up off the ice an awful lot last game. And that was – so it might be out of necessity, you know, to put Studnicka in there. And I'm not saying – you know, he doesn't earn it, but you might go through a couple different looks. And it might have something to do with who you play as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? The different styles of game that you're going to face with either Carolina or the Islanders, it might have something to do with that. So I wouldn't count him out just yet, just because there's still a glaring hole on the right side. And we're assuming that Kasha is going to be fine. There's still a hole on the right side. And one of the lines.
And that's the thing, right? Like, I feel like, And you guys speak to this more, it's, you know, a series against Islanders, it's probably not a Studnicka series. You know, I feel like that would be a difficult series for him. But again, to your point, yeah, it who works out on the right side? Do any of these guys work out on the right side? And if they don't, you know, when do you go to him? Would it be game three? Would it be game four? So there's a lot of variables to it, but it might be, honestly, opponent determined as well.
Yeah, I mean, the Islanders aren't a punishing team. It's not like they bang you and bang you and bang you. They're not a punishing team. They've got that line, the fourth line, that kind of runs around a little bit with Clutterbuck and Martin and Cizikas. But they're not a, you know, their D are kind of, they're good size, but they don't punish you. You know what I mean? So it's not, we were saying that they just try to keep things to the outside. They don't give up much in the middle of the ice. They don't give up two-on-ones. They try not to anyhow. And, you know, they rely on that type of game. So I don't know who best fits over there just yet, but let's see who their opponent is, and then they got to figure that out. But you got a last audition for some of these guys here tomorrow.
Well, Ty, I think that's a valid point, you know, based on who they face. But let's say it is the Islanders. Who's a better fit, Bjork or Kuhlman on the right side? If assuming Kasha stays with Krejci.
See, yeah, that's because I want to know which Danica I'm going to get. It's, you know what I mean? Like, I know that Kuhlman, again, he'll have that motor. He'll have that energy. I want to see Danica shoot more. And it seems like they want to see Danica shoot more. And to Bob's point, you guys' point, if they keep it to the outside, your chances, you're going to have to take him. And if he's not going to take him, then that's a problem, you know, on that line and when where he slides in. So it's just I know that it's tough because it really does feel like a toss-up. But I would almost want to go Kuhlman over him in that instance, given what I've seen so far.
One thing we have not really discussed, and we're going to talk about it coming up, and so we'll finish off with it with you, Ty, is the top line, right? I mean, again, it's only a couple of games here, but we haven't seen production out of them as far as putting the puck in the net. You're going to need that if you're going to be successful in the playoffs. What have you seen out of the Bergeron line so far, and what more do you need to see?
I think that it could be a little bit better, but again, I think that's one of the things I looked at on Wednesday and said it's trending in the right direction. I think that these guys are too good to be this quiet, you know, again in the postseason after what happened against St. Louis. And as far as we know, they're healthy. I mean, Bergeron has the unfit to participate yesterday, but I don't think anyone has a broken thumb right now. I don't think anyone's dealing with a cracked hand from a scrimmage. So I think that they should get on the board. I think they should get going. I think that they're working their way out of it. But I also think, too, that once they get on the board here with the 5-on-5 production, it's going to start flowing. The thing I was most happy with on Wednesday was Pastrnak shooting more. All situations, all strengths. I thought that was big. He wasn't deferring anymore. And I think that they're understanding that they have to, you know, sort of play through this and make the right decisions and not – as fun as it is to dangle on everybody and make them look silly, you may have to get your legs back before you can do that.
All right, Ty Anderson, 98.5, thesportshub.com. You can read his stuff there. We appreciate the time as always.
Thanks, guys.
He joins us, of course, on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. We'll talk a little bit more about that Bergeron line coming up next. And then Billy Jaffe's going to join us in a little more than 15 minutes from now to go around the NHL and talk about all the other series that have been going on this week as well. As we continue right up until 11 o'clock here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show.
Shoots and rest, splashed up the glove. Take it away.
It's the Hockey Show.
Centered, fired, they score.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub. It's streaming on the Sports Hub app.
.985 The Sports Hub and the Sports Hub Hockey Show, 617-779-0985. If you'd like to jump in with us, this is your opportunity. Billy Jaffe's going to join us coming up in the final half hour to go around the NHL. We talk about the Bruins lines and, you know, how everything's going to look and who's going to be in and who's going to be out. And obviously, you know, the Bruins have with Bergeron, Marchand, and Pastrnak, one of the best lines in hockey, as I think I said earlier today. And we know, or we think we know, that for the most part, they're going to be together come hell or high water. What have you seen out of them? I asked this of Ty Anderson. What have you seen out of them over these first couple of games? Because they're, you know, not lighting up the stat sheet so far. Have there been some encouraging signs? Are they looking like they're going to be ready to go come Tuesday or Wednesday when we get to game one?
I thought there were some encouraging signs against Tampa. I thought they passed up a lot of opportunities against the Flyers. So you know, there were chances there to shoot. There were chances there to make plays. They talked about overthinking it or overpassing. You know, maybe they need to simplify it a little bit here. Bruce Cassidy talked about it as well. And he, you know, he was quick to point out it wasn't just that line, but the expectation for that line is pretty high. So there were more pucks on net from that line in the game against Tampa. You know, Ty referenced my Pastrnak, how many attempts he had, how many shots he had at the net. So, yeah, I was encouraged a little bit by that. You know, they've been on the ice for a number of goals. You know, whether they get caught up the ice and they're pressing maybe in that offensive zone and all of a sudden there's a 3-on-2 going back the other way. So there's a couple areas that they're still trying to clean up right now. And they might be guilty of that. We're a little bit in between right now, you know, of making plays, of having the confidence to make plays or simplifying it and you know, getting out of it that way. But we've seen them, you know, during the season at times where, you know, and they can be guilty of trying to do too much sometimes. You know, if things aren't going their way, all of a sudden they're trying to beat guys one-on-one when you move the puck instead and then get it back. And they know that. They're competitors. That's what they want to do. You know, I know Marchand can get into that mode once in a while. Pastrnak can certainly get into that mode once in a while. So I think that they're a little bit in between right now, but encouraging some of the things that they did against Tampa as opposed to maybe Philadelphia. That's the way I saw it.
So Pastrnak the other day basically echoed those comments. The other thing that he talked about is we need to be a little bit closer together. We need to be able to support one another a lot better. But this, I think, also goes back to the structure that the Bruins like to play with that makes them successful, how they play in five-man units, the way they defend in the neutral zone, how well they're able to transition pucks. These are things that are still a work in progress. We saw more of it against the Tampa Bay Lightning than we saw than they had against the Philadelphia Flyers. So for me, I think it's okay, what are they doing away from the puck that helps transition and start their offense? Exits was a thing that Bruce Cassidy had talked about. He's talked about it a little bit in the first two games. Maybe less so than he did against when they had some issues against the Philadelphia Flyers. But what are we seeing from the Bruins as they play as five-man units to help fuel that line in particular?
Is this still a one-line team?
Well, they don't even know what the second and third line looks like. So yeah, I mean, they're strong down the middle, all right. You know, and I know Krejci's taking a little bit of heat here, but he's still, you know, still a top player. He can be a little bit better than he is right now, but he's still a top player. Coyle's been very good. Bergeron and Corrales provided him with a lot of energy in that middle of the ice. So they're strong down the middle. Are they a one-line team as far as scoring? Well, until they hash out some of these other lines, you know, sure looks like it. I mean, but no, they're the fourth line scoring.
Yeah.
So, no, they're not a one-line team.
We haven't really talked at all about the team's defense. The guys back on the back end. I think Bob, you mentioned it very early in the show that you know some of those guys are struggling a little bit, you know, or maybe not 100% up to speed. What are we seeing on the back end? And, you know, how much concern should there be? Because obviously we know how big a role, in particular, some of those guys play on this team at both ends of the ice.
I mean, McAvoy was good against Tampa. He did a lot of good things against the Lightning. Chara's still trying to find it a little bit. He's been good at times. Other times, just you know, he's trying to find it. You know, maybe he's just ramping himself up, and I'm not worried about him. You know, he's somebody that you kind of expect that he'll be okay. I think Carlo struggled a little bit back there, and they need him to be better with the puck. You know, making plays. You know, he doesn't have to be Krug or McAvoy in terms of making offensive plays, but he's got to make some of those good outlet passes. He's got to find the right guy at the right time, move the puck a little quicker, move it to the right areas. You know, so get his feet going in order to do some of that. So be a little bit more decisive with the puck. You know, I think Lauzon has had his moments, you know, and that might be part of the reason Clifton draws in. Plus, you want to get him a game. He hasn't played yet. Mm-hmm. He didn't play against Columbus, right side. So, you know, there's a couple guys that still need to find it a bit more right now. The gaps weren't good against the Flyers. They were better against Tampa, but when their odd man rushes, sometimes you have to back off. But there were still some opportunities in that, especially the first period against Lightning, and the third period, late in the third period against the Lightning, where, you know, being better off the rush, decision-making, quickness, to close off plays before they really get going, get up the ice so your gap is not, you know, so wide that when the puck is turned over, you're all the way back inside your blue line. So those are areas that they're, as a group, they're trying to clean up as well.
And I mean, look, the other part of it too, and is that, look, you're going to be playing a team that's already played some playoff games, and you're going to have to start relying on those guys to play heavy minutes. You know, some of those guys that you just mentioned. You know, McAvoy's going to play a ton of minutes in this postseason. You know, you kind of had this.
Well, I was encouraged by his game against Tampa.
Yeah, I felt, you know, overall he's not
because of the goal, but he played well.
All right, so we'll push pause on that, and we will talk about what else is happening around the NHL. We'll preview the opponents for the Bruins, or possible opponents for the Bruins, and we'll talk about some of the action from last night when Billy Jaffe joins us coming up next here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show.
Shoe center fired, score!
The Hockey Show on your home of the Bruins, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Final half hour of this week's Sports Hub Hockey Show. Ryan Johnston, Judd Surratt, Bob Beers with you in the Town Fair Tire Studios. Time to head back out to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline now as we welcome in Nesson's Billy Jaffe. What's up, Billy?
Gentlemen, how are you guys on this fine August morning?
Nothing like talking hockey in August, Billy.
Well, especially after a day like yesterday. Holy smokes, right?
Six elimination games and five eliminations come out of those games.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
It was a bloodletting. A lot of teams got a chance to go home yesterday, and they took it.
Now get out of the bubble. But I guess there's a whole process behind that. They want you to get your ass out quickly as possible, but yet we don't want you to break the bubble, so the seal, so to speak. So they're, it's everything, all kidding aside, has been structured so beautifully by the NHL, led by Steve Mayer and his staff, coordinated so well that even though it seems like this should be the easiest thing, the releasing or the exiting of the bubble, there's still a big process behind it. So everything's coordinated down to the minute, and it's part of the safety protocol. But yeah, what a day. I mean, crazy stuff, right? I mean, the Edmonton-Chicago series, phenomenal. Like, I mean, in the sense of, you know, who would have thought? Obviously, Montreal-Pittsburgh. Obviously, something's not right with Pitt. But anyways, great day. Fun day for hockey people.
So let's just kind of overall, the first week. I mean, you talked about, you know, kind of the mechanics of the bubble and the fact that it has apparently worked and everybody has managed to stay healthy. That's good. And we're seeing some
better than good.
Yeah. I mean, we're seeing some great hockey. I started the show off today by saying I'd fully in favor of having hockey on every day of the week from noon until after midnight, because it's been phenomenal for those of us who have been working from home. It's a great distraction during the course of the day. But what's the biggest surprise for you that has come out of the first week so far?
I don't want to say surprised, but I'm most thrilled with the fact that they did over those 7,000 tests in the first week and nobody tested positive. I mean, I find that so awesome and encouraging. You could argue that bubble or those bubbles and even the NBA's bubble right now are the safest places in North America to be. And that to me shouldn't be overlooked. And again, the work that the NHL has done to procure at least or to do the best possible safety, you know, protocols possible. The other thing is, I mean, you know, look, guys have lamented the ice. And I know at times it has been spotty and slow and this and that, but it's the same. It's the old saying, right? It's the same for everybody. And, you know, you just deal with it. And Danny Craig and his staff are working their backsides off to make it as decent as possible. When you're playing two, if not three games a day at times, it's just not going to be great. But as teams leave the bubble, there will be less teams. There will be less games. And then hopefully the ice will get a bit better. I'm just thrilled with, I mean, how, for the most part, I've texted with refs and players and coaches, a few of them, and they all said how it's really pretty damn good here, and there's no lamenting of anything going on right now.
I mean, they have a they can go get suits, right? They were talking on the TV broadcast last weekend about Lou Lamoriello going to buy a suit.
And Barry Trotz, which is always an interesting fit for Barry Trotz. You know, the no neck and a lot of shoulders. But I love Trotzy. But listen, the other thing is, if you know, you absolutely go suit shopping when you're there. It's 30% off. On the dollar. That's why, you know, that, and that's another reason. I was told yesterday by somebody that this whole endeavor is going to cost the NHL $70 million, everything, you know, when it's all said and done. You know, and but that's 30 cents on the dollar cheaper. You know, it's 100 American, but up in Canada, it's 70 million. And that's why they were, when it's all said and done, besides COVID, also for the financials, it was much smarter to do it in Canada.
All right, let's talk about some of the matchups that we've seen so far. In particular, I mean, you mentioned the 12 seeds. The Penguins out in four games to the Montreal Canadiens. I don't think too many people were expecting this one.
Nope.
What happened, and are there going to be long-term ramifications for the Penguins in this, other than the possibility of getting the number one overall pick, which they're a 1-in-8 chance of getting now? But is the organization going to just write this off as, you know what, it's an aberration, or is there something bigger at play? Because they're struggling in the playoffs now historically.
Yeah. Well, yeah, now the last couple of years. Jimmy Rutherford is never a guy, even when you think that he has no moves to make due to financial restraints or salary cap restraints, he somehow pulls it off because he's incredibly aggressive. And I believe Jimmy's 71 now, maybe 72. I don't see him changing his stripes on that tiger, so to speak. You know, I don't see him changing his tune any time or any in the short term. Yeah, but listen, you've got a 33-year-old now in Crosby, Malkin about the same age. You know, you've got other guys on some deals. You brought in Jason Zucker, for instance. You know, Chris Letang. So what do you do with these guys? Do you move one of them? I still don't see them moving Malkin or Crosby. I don't. I'm not saying they never go anywhere. Not Crosby. Malkin has a better chance of going somewhere than Sid, but I don't see it happening right now. But I don't think that they will write it off. I do think they're going to have a long, hard look at their goaltending situation, and that Matt Murray, they desperately wanted to, you know, give him the number one mantle and make him the guy, turn it on, you know, like he's done in the past, in playoffs past. But he always had Marc-Andre Fleury there. And no disrespect to Tristan Jarry, who was the better goalie during the regular season, but Matt Murray just didn't do it for them this year at all. So, you know, what kind of marriage will that continue to be? That will be a question. I don't think Mike Sullivan's going anywhere, and I don't think he should. But I think that Jimmy Rutherford will do something. And with regard to specifically in that series, Carey Price was very good. He wasn't the only reason that Montreal won, but he definitely had a huge impact in it. But I also think that guys, you know, some of the young guys, Kotkaniemi and Lekkonen, they stepped up. But a guy like Jeff Petrie, who had, a couple of big, huge goals, winning goals for them, came through. And Montreal just said, screw it. We're not supposed to be here. Let's see what happens. And there was no pressure on them, and they showed.
Are they any threat to the number one seed, whether it ended up being Tampa Bay or Philly?
I don't feel that they are. But if I've learned anything in this short term of pandemic professional hockey, I guess, who knows? I don't, you know, if it was a short series, again, a 3 out of 5, I think, RJ, I'd give them more chance. But we're going to a 4 of 7 right now, and I just don't see, when it's all said and done, the depth of Montreal being to hang with one of those top teams.
All right, who would you, if you're the Bruins, who would you rather see in the first round, Carolina or New York?
Oh, God, I know. I heard you guys talking about that a little bit. I don't know. I don't care. I just want to get to the first round. You know, I'm just so tired of this. You know, I'm a little concerned of the flipping of the switch mentality that the Bruins have. I am, though. Yes, they were better. I agree with what you guys, it was Ty and, you know, Bobby and you guys talking about, and Judd, you know, that the Bruins were better in game two for, I don't know, what, a half of it maybe, a third for sure. But the flip-switch mentality does concern me a little bit, especially going against a team that has already been in much more do-or-die type games. Even though Islanders and Carolina never were had their back against the wall, they were playing in games that they knew were, you know, much more meaningful. I think between the numbers against the Islanders and I think the depth of the Islanders, and for some reason the Bruins seem to do lately a really good job against the Isles, in particular, you know, Tuca, and then also against Matt Barzal, done well. I think that's better. But I on paper right here, right now, I have a ton of respect for what Rod Brindamore's doing. I mean, I know that team still believes a lot, but let's not forget that Carolina scared the crap out of a lot of Bruins people last year going into the Eastern Final, and the Bruins played well. Now, we just don't know what the Bruins are yet. We truly don't. We don't know what the Bruins are. We don't really know exactly what St. Louis is yet, because we haven't seen them in what we're going to call real, you know, playoff games.
Last night, Toronto looked like they were going home,
yeah,
or staying home, I guess, because mm-hmm. they're, you know, just have to go down the street from the bubble. But they come back, 3 goals in the last 4 minutes of that game in regulation. They go on to win it in overtime. So there's a game 5 tomorrow night. What's your gut tell you about, can the Blue Jackets rebound and win game 5? Because I thought they were going to put that game away last night, even before they got the 3-0 lead.
Yes, they can rebound. They can win game 5. They've been a rebound team all year, especially with the major amount of bodies that haven't been in the lineup. But speaking of that, what's the situation with Zach Werenski? Along with, you know, Seth Jones, they're two, you know, incredibly high-level players on the back end that would play probably 28 to 30 minutes each in a game like tomorrow night. We don't know if he's coming back. He didn't play the last half of the third in OT. So that's going to be, I think, will play a big factor in it, because you're playing somebody else then with Seth Jones for the amount of minutes that he's got to play. They're going to have to rotate guys around there, and it's just not going to be the same vibe, the same feel out there. And Werenski has helped this team on the power play too. That wasn't a great power play during the year, but it seems to be at least getting more chances now. And I don't know. I look at the Leafs as a completely, you know, as a at times a petulant, you know, 4-year-old that can, you know, absolutely charm the pants off you, and then other times, you know, just absolutely want to make you to pull your hair out if you have any left. You know, I mean, they're so all over the place. Their defense is, it's still a mystery, you know, what they're trying to do at times. And there was no pushback in this team. They got, all of a sudden, they got an adrenaline rush in the last 5 minutes or four or something of that game. And their skill took over. And you could see when that third goal was scored by, was it Zach Hyman, the goaltender, Elvis Merzlikins, the way he reacted, it was almost like, I felt, my observation, that he felt they were going to score. I mean, like, I know the puck went under him and there was some screen, but like he was, you could see that he wasn't handling it well. And for some reason, Columbus didn't the last few minutes. And that was like, okay, open, wide open hockey and what Toronto needs and wants to succeed. If you play it harder, if you shut them down a bit more, they're not a team that seems to have a lot of pushback. For crying out loud, they relied on Jason Spezza, you know, their fourth line, 38-year-old center to get into a fight in the, you know, in the game, earlier in the game, to try and spark things. You know, I mean, they had nothing going for a lot of that game. So, yeah, Columbus could still do it, but Werenski will be a huge factor to me.
Billy Jaffe joining us here on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Out west, Blackhawks beat the Oilers 3-1, win it last night 3-2, and send the Oilers home. You got out west, the 5 and the 6 seeds are both out in 4 games. With the Blackhawks winning, and then the Coyotes beat the Predators yesterday to take them out. Do you see these teams, particularly the Blackhawks, I guess? I mean, look, a lot of us had written them off as well. Do you see them, particularly with their big guns going the way that they're going right now and their experience, being a threat to move on past the first round?
Well, this is their first playoff win, and I know we're not supposed to call them playoffs, the qualifiers. This is their first one since 2015, winning the Cup. So that will give them a great sense of, you know, accomplishment, and it's good for the young kids that they have there at the Hawks. When it's all said and done, if, big if, Jonathan Toews plays like he has, what a beast. MVP of that series, no question. Corey Crawford was great, didn't have to steal some games, but when mattered most, he made some great saves. He was there, and he's significantly better than either goaltender that Edmonton has, RJ. If he plays at that kind of level, and I mean, I'd love to see Kane get going even more offensively. I could see them making it much tougher on a number one. I mean, who is that going to be, either Vegas or Colorado?
Colorado, yeah.
I mean, I still don't know if I see them being over a 7-game series, just like Montreal, to be able to sustain against it. I just, my instincts just say, this was that we're going to show the world that, you know, yeah, we were at 12, but we have nothing to lose. We're here. And I don't want to say reality sets in now, but, you know, I mean, compared to Edmonton, holy smokes. I mean, you know, Vegas and Colorado are fantastic teams. I mean, Edmonton, their stars at times look like, you know, insignificant. I mean, I know they put up all these points, but it was the old, well, we're going to outscore you. We don't have to worry about the other. I mean, the defensive intensity from McDavid and Dreisaitl at times was not there, just not almost indifferent at times. So, I don't, you know, I'm going to say this. I'm not going to take away from the Hawks because, man, oh, man, did they step up. And, again, Jonathan Toews took the responsibility and the challenge of going against McDavid and Dreisaitl and all those guys. You know, he took it personally. He's very proud. And he showed that, you know, he's still in a short series going to be reckoned with. I mean, he's still a great player, but you know what I mean. And he dominated. He mentally and then physically dominated. I don't know if that will be enough when reality sets in against. I don't think it will be against one of the top teams in the West.
Are the Coyotes finding something? Are they building something?
No, I don't think. No, I don't. I think that they're still kind of rudderless, and they're considering paying, you know, upwards of $9 million plus to Taylor Hall, which I you know, he's not Patrick Kane, who makes 10 plus mil as a winger. I understand you have to pay to keep, you know, stars, but I don't know if he drives a team. Look, Rick Tocchet, big fan of his, huge fan in fact. I can't imagine that this is the type of team he looks at and says, man, oh, man, that this is, you know, this is not a what he's about. I mean, Richardson, the guy that scored the winning goal last night, was what a guy, you know, like Tocchet's about, you know, grinder, et cetera, although Rick was more skilled than a guy like Brad Richardson is. But, I mean, they have a collection of what I would say very, on paper, very intriguing young players. I haven't seen that translate. I don't think that they have enough of a nucleus of veteran players there to pull these young kids along to the kind of level that I think you're referring to, building to a top four Western Conference team. You know, Kemper, nice goalie, but I don't see him. I mean, yeah, he's proven to be a one right now, and it's all said and done. Is he a franchise goalie? I don't think so, but he's good. Ranta can't stay healthy. And then you're talking up front. I mean, you know, Keller's a nice offensive element, but you know what? Come playoff time, that type of razzle-dazzle doesn't always work. Slick skills, unbelievable hands, will put up points, but come playoff time, I question. What's Phil Kessel about? He scored the other day or last night, but, you know, overall hadn't noticed him a lot. I don't know, RJ. I just don't think that they have enough. I think they need to figure out that leadership group and build around whatever that's going to be to form a nucleus of core veteran leaders, instead of just adding a mishmash of young talent all the time.
What, if anything, have you taken out of the round-robin games in both the East and the West that we've seen so far?
Colorado and Vegas were my top teams. I'm interested how both Boston and St. Louis, the Cup finalists and Cup winner, haven't won a game. I'm sure both fan bases are full of agita over that. And maybe those teams are too. I mean, I like Philly. I know that they've been on the rise. It's not that I don't think that they can win a cup. I think they're going to be a tough team. I don't know if they're ready for that next level, that the highest level, but I do like what they've got there. I will say that Kevin Hayes has improved all season long, and to where now he's playing not just big minutes, but important minutes for them. Alain Vigneault and his staff have done a really, really nice job. I also think that I know it's only one game against the Bruins, but I saw them play some of the games against the Caps. I do think that Tampa has more of a physical mentality than we've seen before.
And as I think Beersy said earlier, a little something to prove after their quick exit last year. Think that's in the back of their mind right now?
I do. I think. I mean, look, that's all part of it, but I think that hockey players seem to say, think about the now instead of the past, right? I think, you know, fans tend to think more about the past and maybe management here and there, but as a player, you're getting on the ice and in the now, and I think that the past is the reason that they made these moves to get bigger, stronger, tougher, more physically and mentally stronger, right? That's what catapulted or initiated all these moves that Yzerman and then Julien and Brisebois, their GM now, to make. So, sure, they want to prove – I think they understand, too, not that they're in their mid-30s, but, you know, they've gotten close. But holy smokes, it isn't going to keep happening like this. They're a good team. They're a real good team right now.
All right, Billy, appreciate the time as always. Look forward to talking to you throughout the playoffs.
Hope it's a long ride, buddy. Stay safe. Stay healthy, everybody. See you later.
You too. Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline is where we found Billy Jaffe. That's going to wrap things up for this edition of the Sports Hub Hockey Show. Don't forget, coming up tomorrow, they have set that Bruins game time tomorrow against Washington for noon, so 11:30 pregame show for Judd and Bob on the call of that one. And I will actually be here after the game tomorrow prior to the Celtics game as well, so you can catch us all tomorrow here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Guys, we'll be listening tomorrow. We'll talk to you next week here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show. Stick around for Gasper and Murray or some semblance of their show coming up next.
The Sports Hub Hockey Show with Ryan Johnston, Judd Zirai, and Bob Beers. The home of the bees. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.